This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Hello, I'm Dr. Nancy Lottridge-Anderson, president of New Perspectives, a fee-only financial advising firm and co-host of Money Talks. For over 10 years, Money Talks has been answering your personal financial questions and sharing knowledge about money management. Money Talks can be heard Tuesdays at 9 a.m. on MPB Think Radio. Podcasts can be found on our website, money.mpbonline.org, or on your smart device's podcasting platform.
Hello, thanks for tuning in to Everyday Tech. This is Abram Nanny with Sabir Abdul-Haq, an IT expert. In collaboration with the Bean Path, an organization based right here in Jackson, Mississippi AI Collaborative has set May as Mississippi's first ever AI month. Today on the show, we welcome a couple experts from the Bean Path who are planning this event and others that are based around some of the very subjects we talk about often here on Everyday Tech. Email everydaytech at mpbonline.org if you have any questions or comments. And of course, don't forget about the Talk to Us feature on the MPB Public Media app. Hey, Sabir, how is it going, man?
I wish I could be there. Bean Path does great work. I know we've sung their praises a couple of times in past episodes, and I would love to be there with some of my buddies over there.
Cool. Well, how is work in IT been recently
this past week? It has been one of I've had a lot of people contacting me. You know, I've had conversations with folks about the issues of making a bad computer purchase. I talked to a good friend of mine. He may be listening on this show. He said that he caught the end of the last show and he meant to call in and mess with us. But he called me and he bought, unfortunately, he apparently didn't listen to our December shopping guide in terms of what kind of computers to buy.
Yeah, did he buy a touchscreen, Sabir?
He bought a particular, I ain't gonna say a name and model, but we did say about it during that show, talking about what to buy in terms of a certain big box store, and he bought one for his wife, and I said, I'm sorry, bro, that's basically a paperweight. So he may call in, because he said I might call in and mess with you, but I got him right yesterday. And then a couple other folks that had update issues and some security issues and everything else. So it's been a week of security, making sure you buy the right products. And, you know, some folks say that they've been listening in. They say, you know what, I was about to buy XYZ computer, and I'm glad I listened to your show.
So, good.
So, yeah, I'm glad it worked out. People didn't buy paperweights, unlike my friend who must have missed it.
So we're at least contributing a little bit. We're helping out some.
Yeah, doing bit by bit. And, you know, I'm glad that we're doing what we're doing here at Everyday Tech to help keep people informed and apprised of what's happening. So.
Yeah.
Glad to help out.
Yeah. All right. Well, before we get into everything, we actually have an early caller. We have Wayne in Puckett who has a question for us or a comment. What's going on, Wayne?
Good morning. How are y'all guys doing?
All right. Good morning. How are you?
All right. I have a Dell laptop touchscreen that I had purchased in 2017. It's developed a couple of issues. I bought a 42 watt hour battery to replace in it, but I'm just wondering if this is something that I continue with or should I get rid of it and get some new technology. But the battery was holding no more charge, so that's why I purchased the battery. But it also has a glitch in the input plug-in, where if you don't hold your tongue and step on one foot and hop up and down, it won't allow the charge. So I'm going to have to either replace that as well. So that's not the only thing. Occasionally it does the updates, and that's probably more a software issue that I might be able to update with a fresh Windows 10 or something. Anyway, I'm just wondering, am I throwing money into a money pit, or is this something that's still worth using? Because I love the touch screen. You know, it's not terribly old, but it is.
Yeah.
Is this something that I should be looking at going with something different now?
Okay. All right. Great question, brother. I would definitely recommend, so quick and easy, and you seem to be a little tech savvy, so definitely I would recommend first, if you get a new battery, And if it's not charging right, one of the quickest fixes would be to go to Dell's website, which is support, or the support part, support.dell.com. You would flip over your computer on the bottom of it and look for what's called the service tag, which is, I think it's like a 9 or 12 alphanumeric code. And you would put that in because it wants to know what make and model you have, and then update the BIOS. Have you updated the BIOS? I know you said you were trying to do some of the updates, but sometimes the BIOS, most times actually on computers this day and age, the BIOS does not automatically, I'd say better than 90% of the time, the BIOS does not automatically, I don't think it ever does. You have to manually do what they call flashing the BIOS. Have you, the firmware, have you done that yet, brother?
I have not. Usually what happens is when I do a startup, occasionally when I do the startup, it gives me that, the spin wheel of death that gives you the, you know, updating, don't turn off your computer 20, 40, 30, 60, keep going up. So it does that enough to be irritating.
If it's giving you the spin wheel, that also is a sign of a hard drive, either perhaps faulty memory, but I would bet lunch on it that it would be the hard drive is about to die on you. But there's a couple of things that would fix that. Definitely when it pops back up, you can go, like I said, support.dell.com, because you said that's a Dell computer. Each, you know, computer manufacturer has their own support site. You would put in that express service code or the service tag. Either one would give you the one for your computer. Go ahead and get the BIOS. Download and install the BIOS. If it's still giving you issues, you can run a diagnostic. And if a diagnostic pops back and if your computer starts singing to you melodically, which sometimes it'll do, if it gives you an error code that starts with 2000, if it starts with 2000, that's a hard drive. Your hard drive is dying. It's got an issue with that. And then it's just a matter of whether or not, because you can get, I've sung the praises of, I got no problem saying their names up here, Sideline PCs Plus out of Brandon. They sell great computers, and they also sell affordable hard drives. You can get a hard drive from them for $100 and be good to go. Reinstall Windows if you need to, and it would be cheaper than you going out another computer. But lastly, I also want to recommend...
Where in Brandon they are? Is it on Highway 80?
1566 Government Boulevard, right there in Brandon. I go by there so many times. They know my name, and they send people my way, and I send people there. I send people there.
I know exactly where it is.
Right over there, right next to what's name? Tell them Sabir with Everyday Tech sending.
It's between Planet Fitness and Ollie.
Planet Fitness. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's it. That's it. See if they've got it. But first, before you buy anything, try to go ahead and get that. Try to do your BIOS update, your firmware update. Try to do that first, and if that works out for you, you might be okay. But if it gives you that 2000 error code when you try to do a diagnostic, it's time to get another hard drive.
One other question. I do have some Apple products. I like my AirBuds. Mm-hmm. I've used a watch on and off. I lean more towards the Android, but, you know, I've got both. I go back and forth sometimes when I have a problem with one device or I break one, I'll go back to my Apple sometimes. Is the new Apple iPad Pro a good replacement for a laptop or not?
It can be a costly one. It could be a costly one. I don't know if you bought one already or if you're thinking about buying one.
No, I bought one in December, but I backed out of the deal because I heard that the upgrades on the one that's coming out now is much better than the one that was last year.
The concern, I always have been concerned, I always bash Apple stuff. I'm just playing, though. But my concern has always been that Apple products cost so much more to maintain than a PC. I'm talking about at least by a factor of 4 or 6. So that's one of my main problems. I will go with an Apple product. My concern is the cost to maintain it. Like, if you have to go and, like, the tools are proprietary. Everything that you have to do is proprietary. That's my only big beef with Apple. So, to answer your question, you can go to a Sidelines PCs Plus. You can go to even some of these big box stores, which I don't really care about, but you can go to some of these big box stores and still come out less buying a PC or a laptop than you would buying a buying an Apple product. This is my personal opinion. It's just me. This is just me. But I mean, if you've got access to one, and if it's not, you know, high three digits to purchase, I mean, go right ahead. But you could spend that same amount of money, shop local with a spot like Sideline PCs Plus or another spot, or even get something brand new and still come out cheaper. So, I mean, it's just really up to you in terms of what your budget says, you know?
Yep. All right. Yep. Well, we appreciate the call, Wayne. We are actually, you know what, Sabir, can you tell me a little bit about what you've done with the Beam Path real quick before we go to the break? You're familiar with what the Beam Path does and stuff, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So can you tell me a little bit about that real quick?
Right. So the Beam Path works. They are a community collaborative of, you know, in terms of just about everything technology. And they have done fantastic work, particularly when it comes to youth and community youth in the area, particularly for Jackson. One of their they're constantly working on ways to be able to grow. I need to look at their website to call their mission out. But basically, they are working to be able to build the gap and to bridge that divide with community and technology, particularly in terms of young folks. I've always, you know, watched their work. They're amazing in terms of what they've done for organizations. They're a nonprofit organization. Yeah, I just found their website real quick. They're a nonprofit focusing on bridging the tech gap in communities.
Look at that. You got it already.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I've worked with them and several other folks that I think that are going to be on the call today and how they sing and how they talk about their work and how proud they are of their own work. I know them personally, and I know them, what they do. And I love what they're doing for Jackson in terms of a technology footprint. And I believe they're always a name in the room when it comes to dealing with technology and bringing technology to community organizations.
Yeah.
I can't do enough to sing their praises, but I want them to get on. I'm looking forward for their conversation and to lead the charge in what they're talking about. They're amazing.
Yeah, well, cool. Well, the Beam Path as a name, as an organization, has been brought up like since I started this show. Mm-hmm. So let us know what you think. We still have a lot of show left, so stay tuned and email us at everydaytech@mpbonline.org. Thanks for listening to MPB Think Radio and tuning into Everyday Tech this morning. My name is Abram Nanny. I've got Sabir Abdul-Haq here with me. Email your questions or comments to everydaytech@mpbonline.org. So it is time to officially welcome our guests to the show. We've got Anik and Tracy here from the Beam Path. Good morning, you two. How is it going?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. So could you each tell us what you do at the Beam Path, starting with Anik?
Sure. I'm the Makerspace Director, which is the home of BeamPath and Jackson's community hub for tech, STEAM, and making.
All right. And what about you, Tracy?
I am the K-12 Program Manager, and so I help collaborate with other businesses or organizations about bringing youth into the facility or us doing outreach, maybe at a school, or we've even started doing homeschool as well.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. So the Beam Path is very organized with local schools and local programs like educational programs.
Yes, and where it's been more with Jackson Public Schools, and we've been reaching out to other schools as well, not even close in the metropolitan area, but like Vicksburg and Port mm-hmm. Gibson, and then some of the private schools that are in the Jackson area.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, cool. So for those who may not have heard of the Beam Path, tell our listeners a little bit about the organization.
I'm hesitating because I think Sabir just did an amazing job.
He really did. Sabir, when we went on break, Anik was like, oh, that was so sweet.
She was so appreciative
of what you had to say.
Yeah.
That's it. And I mean, I've been a huge fan of, you know, Beam Path and everything else. And hey, Tracy. Anik, I never met you, but Tracy and I go way back. But definitely, it's always good to find young folks are always really super, super plugged into anything tech related. And when you find organizations like the Beam Path, and then you also have folks like, I mean, Miss Anik, I don't know you, but Tracy has always been involved in young folks' lives. That's actually how I met her outside of her brothers. she's always been, so when you have advocates that are speaking not only to what tech is, but also to youth and technology, that just adds and lends more of an air of credence and credibility and, and effect to the end goal. So, I mean, for what Beanbath is doing, I'm super, super stoked to always be following y'all on social media and hearing more about y'all. Just like you're saying, Abram, like you said you had heard about them, but past shows we have specifically talked y'all up. So if y'all ears were burning, that's why.
yeah, for sure.
Oh, thank you, Sabir. Did you know that? Yes, we have a very big leaning towards youth, and Tracy will tell you more. And she heads up youth. She is the woman that oversees STEAM and does incredible stuff, which she'll tell you about in a moment. But we also have a senior program that is going public next month. So nice. We have programs for the seniors. We also do a lot of focus on continued education and workforce development. And we do a lot of partnership work with JSU, and other universities as well.
Okay. That's excellent. So seniors like myself, I hear what you're saying. but I definitely...
I felt a little targeted.
I got you. No, I completely understand. Like a lot of this past week, some of my own personal clients have had... We talked about this when we first opened up. We had folks that had made, unfortunately, some of the wrong computer purchases, or some folks who clicked on the wrong email, or some folks that did, XYZ. Yeah. And it's great that y'all are, crossing the digital path, not only in terms of young folks, but also in terms of our elders as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We have a couple callers to get to. Before we get to them, though, Andrew and Rex, just hang on just a second, please. We mentioned at the start of the show, the Beanbath is hosting Mississippi's first AI month. So, Anique, what is that?
Gosh, well, okay, I'll try and keep this brief.
Huge question, I know.
We are popping with excitement because this is Mississippi's first AI month. And when I have Googled, I haven't really seen much about AI months around the world either. Mm-hmm. They do exist, but very, very far and few between. So we're leading the way. And in brief, it is top line, it's about demystifying AI. It's about demystifying AI through fun family activities, informative talks, cool exposure experiences. We go a bit deeper into kind of techie immersion and workshops with techies and looking at the code side of it. We also look at the creative world for professionals because, I mean, the creative world is just growing with AI. Mm-hmm. It's an important place. But also for hobbyists of all ages so that people can have fun with it as well as learn, informative stuff. And we also take a look at the scary stuff, We take a look at the ethics. And you mentioned security, Sabir. So, we're not shying away from anything. We're looking at the whole gamut of AI and we're sharing it with our community. And the community also, this is a collaboration with the community. It's about the community sharing their knowledge with AI and starting to help build this AI community so we can kind of come together and network and support each other.
Right. Well, it's something that's happening regardless of whether we take initiative with it or not.
Exactly.
So it's better to get an education going with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is Everyday Tech. We are taking your phone calls right now. We have Rex in the North Shore of... Rex, I don't know how to pronounce that lake. How's it going, Rex? Where are you right now? I can't say that.
I am in Lacombe, Louisiana. I'm on the north shore of Lake Pontchartrain.
Pontchartrain. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, cool. What's your question for Sabir?
What should I do? Should I run Ethernet cable, direct burial cable underground, or should I run it through conduit? Let me lay out what I have to do. I have a camera I want to set up about 120 yards from my house, 100 meters or so. It's off the pasture, and I want to run Ethernet to it. And I want to know which would be cheaper or better for me in the long run. Should I run the cable, direct burial cable, or just get any Ethernet cable and pull it through conduit?
So, right. So if you were to try to, that's a great question. If you have the supplies and the know-how, first off, you want to make sure that your camera can take Ethernet, right? Like, I mean, the security camera you've got, does it have like a input that allows you to be able, most of these cameras nowadays, unless you're getting some of those big, you know, the DVRs and everything else, some of those DVR cameras, yeah, they do allow for Wi-Fi and for hardline, so the Ethernet cable. So you could do that. You could do that if it does have it, but you want to make sure that whichever camera you're about to buy does have that, because if it doesn't, that answers that your question then. If you can't find one, or maybe if it's not in your budget or whatever, you may have to stick with Wi-Fi. And if that's the case, your best bet I would recommend would be to get like a mesh system, like the Wi-Fi mesh system, where you could be able to kind of make it a little less, you can make your signal kind of lossless, not as much as lossless as it will be. It looks like, if I heard you right, it was a little bit of echo on your phone. It sounded like you were trying to use this to keep up with like your livestock, like to keep an eye on your livestock. Is that correct?
Well, actually, I'm going to put it over a pond. Now,
over a pond, okay.
Now, this Wi-Fi, do I have to pay a fee, monthly fee, to watch this camera?
Short answer, depending on who you're using, you can use, there's a lot of ones that are out there. You have to pay a fee if you want it to save the data. So you can use, like, for example, you can use companies like Genie. That's G-E-E-N-I-E. So it's three E's in the name. Genie, you've got, there's a lot of others that are out there. I recommend, if you are okay with the slightly higher budget, Swann, S-W-A-N-N. I've got another client of mine in Jackson. She uses it for her area to keep up with her office, you know, out after hours. And the quality is great. Like Swann is great, but there's a lot of others that are out there. I would say, I don't want to, you know, take up too much time, but find a vendor that makes sense for you. If you want to use hardline with an Ethernet, find a vendor that makes sense for you with your budget. If you find one that does accept hardline or Ethernet, then be ready to go ahead and run those cables from whoever is your internet service provider. But understand, when you're using a hard line, you're going to drink up more of your bandwidth, and it's going to eat up a lot of, it's going to eat your bandwidth up, and some of your other devices that may need internet might not, you know, you might have a slower connection. But if you use Wi-Fi, the trade-off is you're not eating up so much of your bandwidth, but sometimes you might have lower picture quality. So those are the two things that you have to keep in mind. When you're streaming live video, either way, when you're streaming live video, yes, there may be a cost if you're going to save it, but understand what it's going to do to impact the rest of your network structure. I hope that helps.
Yeah, I think that was a little bit of a help there, Rex. What you think?
Well, I'm just wondering on the Ethernet. Well, I've been told that if I want stability, I need to run Ethernet to it. I got a camera lined up. There's several of them.
Mm-hmm.
My budget, let's just say I'm retired and I have the money.
Okay.
I'm going to run that cable. I'm not going to fool around for a while.
Okay.
I know somebody who's a principal of the school. He will not touch Wi-Fi.
Understood.
He wants hardwired because he wants the reliability.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ether, if you can afford that, and Ethernet cables that long and stuff, the Ethernet is always the faster connection.
Always going to be the faster connection. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, all right, Rex, we appreciate that call. Let's go to Andrew real quick right before we go to break.
Sure.
Andrew, you have a Windows update question. What's going on?
Yeah. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I've got an older HP machine. It's about 5 years old. It doesn't meet the system requirements for Windows 11, so it's running Windows 10. And it had an automatic update pop up Friday. And so I restarted for the update, and I just kind of left the room and came back way later. And when I did, I discovered that it displayed my desktop, but I wasn't able to use it. It didn't show the icons for programs and that sort of thing. And I've rebooted, and it says directory, that the desktop directory is not accessible. You know, like Windows System 32, profile, desktop. That's your, I guess, where the files are stored from the desktop. There are two users on this machine. I'm the administrator, and then my family, you know, is able to use the computer in one that I just call everybody, and it doesn't have the administrator privileges, but that desktop works. And I've tried a couple of things to try and remedy it. I Googled it, and I suggested that I should create that directory that seems to be missing, and I used the command prompt to do that. That didn't fix it. So I tried to restore to a system restore point, and it just said that the system restore was unsuccessful.
So you can't, system restore didn't work. When it did the update, that failed. Even when you did a system restore, there is a way to be able to walk back and update. Like, let's see if it will allow you to be able to walk back and update, and will it come back up? Have you tried that? Because that's different than a system restore.
Yes, I did that.
Okay.
There were two kinds of updates. I'm sorry, I should have talked to that as well. One was features, and the other one was something else. So I started with the one on top, and I went through the process of rolling back both of the updates before the
restore. Yeah. So, but right now you don't see anything. Like, it's not showing. Does it say that it's empty, or you just can't see it on your desktop?
Before the system restore, it had the desktop background. But after I did the system restore, it did not show it's just a black background, and the only icon on it is the cycle bin. And like when you press the start icon in the very bottom left-hand corner, it won't even open it. But it will. Everybody user, the other user, everything works in it.
But when you go inside File Explorer, it's missing those files.
When I navigate to it in the everybody user, it's there. But I'm thinking I'm just in the wrong user for that. And I can't use the Windows part of it on the other one. But when I tried to visit the directory in command, in the old DOS command style place, and it didn't seem to exist, so I created it. I mkdir desktop.
Yeah.
Everything was there except the word desktop. And so that was my first try, and that was from a Google search.
You did right. The only thing I would say, and I know we're jumping on, getting ready to jump on break. Only thing I would say is sometimes right click anywhere on that desktop and try to choose. Sometimes when you right click on the desktop itself, and if you choose under display, you go to view. Sometimes it'll say show desktop icons. That might be unchecked. Like, and I know you said that recycle bin is showing, but if you right-click anywhere on that desktop, go to view, and then if show desktop icons is unchecked, that might be why. Because it sounds like, if I hear you correctly, the stuff is still there. But the stuff is still there. It's just not showing the desktop. Try that. Outside of that, I think that you may have to take that into your local IT guy or gal to get you squared away.
All right. Well, Andrew, we appreciate you calling in. We're glad you found our show, Everyday Tech, on MPB Think Radio. This is Abram Nanny, still here with Sabir Abdul-Haq, who's ready to answer your questions. Email us at everydaytech@mpbonline.org. Like I said, we are here with Anik and Tracy. So we've mentioned AI Month a little bit. So what type of events are being planned for AI Month?
Gosh, again, we could talk forever. I have my 1 month schedule here. So every week we have minimum of three things going on. In fact, I think it's about six things every week. Each week is themed. So the first week is kind of like an intro/family week. So the first really exciting thing is we have Family Day. So that's just for everyone to come and play and to have fun and just to explore and immerse themselves in AI activities from every age, from like we're looking at doing an AI quilt to an AI, looking at doing a family tree through AI. And then I'll just do the themes very quickly. Otherwise, I'll kind of get stuck on all the exciting things.
Oh, yeah.
So the other week two is for It's focused on AI for business and entrepreneurs at every level. So looking at full integration to just general what's free out there that can help your computer, help your business. And then week three, we dive deep into AI technologies. So our founder, Nashley Cephas, is going to do a session, and, you know, this is her area, so she really knows what she's talking about. So we've got the more deeper conversations looking at tech and like the hardcore experts coming in on that one. And week four is about creativity. So we have a really loads of great things. One of the things that we're really excited about is we're doing a talk with Pockstock, who is a company in New York that is a part of this movement that is looking at stock imagery online and making sure that it's more diverse and it represents our community more. So that's going to be a really interesting conversation, and that's going to be kind of a live kind of panel discussion.
Right.
And then we've got more kind of hands-on fun stuff and open labs where people can come and play on the platforms that we've got.
Cool. Well, you mentioned to me during the break, you actually, you guys are looking for volunteers for this.
We are always looking for volunteers, right. And we look after our volunteers. We do train them up. So for AI month, we're very aware that a lot of people haven't, you know, it's scary. A lot of people haven't been exposed. They haven't had a chance to jump in there. Mm-hmm. So we've done a couple of training sessions. We have one more on the 25th. And basically, we just talk to people about AI and introduce them to a couple of tools. And then, but all they do is they come along to certain events that, you know, we support them on this. And then they just share that what they've learned with us. And we're always there to help because nobody knows all the answers. Nobody knows all about AI. It's moving so fast.
Yeah.
This is a community event. It's about expanding the community's knowledge, exposure, and the network, and supporting each other.
Yeah. So if I wanted to show up next month, you know, some random Tuesday, I'm feeling like I've got the time to come. Is there a fee to show up and see any of this, or what? How is that going down?
So overall, the AI month programming is free. However, there is a section, so on a regular basis throughout the year, our makerspace is open and has workshops and classes running. So during AI month, all of those classes are going to be AI themed, and they do have a cost. But they're really cool. You know, we do classes in the makerspace like jewelry making, from 3D printing to sewing,
ceramics.
And all of these are going to be AI focused. Sorry, Tracy.
I was just adding some of the classes, ceramics.
Yes.
Oh,
the laser
very
cutting.
Cool. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, nice. Sabir, have you worked with any of that type of stuff before?
So Tracy knows that my youngest son, Caduce, was interested in the STEAM and the robotics. So it just, he got busy with some of his other things, and he was like, school and everything else. I'm like, well, let's go ahead and do this. He's like, let me focus on these things. So, but definitely to be able to delve back into that, I'm very much familiar with a lot of some of I'm super stoked about some of the things, like 3D modeling is always something that's really cool because kids throw themselves into that. They're like, if you give me the schematics to something, I can print whatever I want. Holy goodness, let me go ahead and try to do this. And I'll watch kids just like toss all their creativity into that. So the 3D modeling and printing is always good. The workshops, I'm very familiar with it. And I stay watching y'all on social media. I hate that I missed the co-builders, the bean pad, the co-builders, the accelerators you were talking about that you're working with. I hate that I missed that.
Well, we actually have one coming up. I think this is the actual final event, but I think it's the 5th, or you're going to have to look online for this one, because
gotcha.
It's the 5th of May or somewhere around there.
I feel like it's the
And also, Sabir, we're actually doing a 3D modeling course right now. It's a 9-month course that Coach Adam put together, and it's just a lot of detail, and it's so awesome. And so we even did a live recording that's on our YouTube page for Beam Path. So, yeah, Beam Path, you got to check us out, because we're, like how Anik said, AI is keeps evolving. Beam Path is evolving.
Yeah, you got to evolve
with
it. So
you got to jump in. Get in where you fit in and just grow from there.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
grow with us.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a tagline right there for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Grow with.
So you guys mentioned that you do a lot of stuff with students and younger people. So after AI Month, you guys have something going on in June that you're involved with, Tracy, correct?
Yes. In June, we're beginning our summer camp, June 3rd, and we're doing 3 weeks. In the month of June, and we're actually covering all domains of STEAM. So when I came aboard, Sabir knows this about me, I get super excited about whatever I do, and I pour all the energy in there. And
So
because they said, okay, Tracy, well, we want you to handle STEAM. I said, okay, well, then this summer, it's going to be full STEAM ahead.
Hey.
Week, it's all STEAM, and then we're breaking it up week by week. So then after that, it's a week of science with tech, and then all things tech the week after. And then we have a break, and then we come in the first weekend, well, the second week in July, because the Makerspace is closed the week of the 4th. But the week of the 8th through the 12th, that's when we're doing engineering, and then a week of arts with tech, and then a week of math with tech. And so we only have 30 slots.
Okay.
So if you know someone that's got a youth from kindergarten through 12th grade and they kind of are interested in some of STEAM things, this will be a good time for them to come and experience. Because it's not just Beam Path instructors or employees that are doing this. This is a community event. Because when I hear the word community, it makes me think of people coming together for the betterment of everyone involved. So we're bringing in other people from the community. Like when we're doing the engineering week, so we're bringing in engineers. We're bringing in people from Mississippi Coding Academy. We're bringing in science teachers when we're doing the week of science with tech. And so we want the masters of that domain to come in and work along with us as we're working with youth. You know, because Dr. Nashley, she was fed all of these awesome things when she was younger, and it sparked her interest, and look at her now. So we just want to do the same thing and provide that for everyone. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tracy's creating a true immersion in STEAM.
Yeah. Yep. I got to be honest for a second. I completely forgot that they added arts to the STEAM thing. So I was like, what are y'all? Because it was STEM when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's STEAM. So I was confused for a second.
Some people do STEM.
Curriculum.
Some people just do STEM. But when they said Tracy May, I was a theater major in elementary. Yes, I'm going to bring the arts.
She's going to bring the arts.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, as I mentioned before, creativity and the arts is huge in tech.
Yeah.
And it's getting huger and huger, and it's really important that our kids are just given those tools to just fly with.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Well,
AI has been, I'm sorry, Abra, I was going to say real quick,
AI
has been at the forefront of the art side of it, not only just in terms of AI arts and all the different apps that can make you look like a cartoon character and everything else, or if you're going to, when you think about like 3D printing also brings about art.
Right.
So that's exactly right. I agree with you're saying. Go ahead, Abra, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we're going to stay here through the break. We have been taking calls, so we have another call coming in from Morris in Jackson, who has a question about floppy disks, actually.
Oh, wow.
So, Morris, what's going on?
Well, no, they're not. Yeah, the little 3.5-inch hard disk. I have images I have images on these disks that are caught up in binary hell. When I came back to school in 93, I did this work on systems like Omega 3000s, 2000, Radio Shack type Commodore things.
Yeah.
With art programs, DigiView, and stuff I can't even remember. So now, at this point, because technology has advanced so far, these images I still would like to keep. So the question is, can I put them in a tower you know, those little tall things used to be under the desk. And if there's some sort of piece of equipment that I could put in between, that the tower actually will, like the same idea as a Betamax. You know, you run a VHS to a Betamax, it wipes the signal, puts a new signal on. Is there something I could do to put in between so it talks to my iMac so I can get these images into the real or pretty much updated and forget about the hard disk?
Right. So keep in mind, like, your images, that those 3.5-inch floppies only had, what was that, about, how much was that, about 1.44 megs, which is not a lot of space.
Yeah.
So just, but so you can get, like, I'm looking online right now, Amazon is selling those right now. So you can purchase those cross-platform, Mac, PC, whatever you're doing. I would recommend, this is just, you know, my opinion, if you were to take, you know, get a floppy disk, take your disk, pop your disk in there, just copy it onto your computer, and then everything is in the cloud now, right? Like, so if you were to use, you know, Google Drive, if you were to use OneDrive or Dropbox or, you know, any one of these other, you know, cloud programs to be able to keep track of your stuff, because at some point, because that is a 3.5-inch floppy, there are mechanical parts. At some point, unfortunately, I don't wish this on you, but at some point, that floppy disk may stop reading. At some point, until it gets to a point where it's, you know, SSD, where there's no mechanical parts inside of it. So if you put that 3.5-inch floppy, I would pull all your files off those floppies. Get yourself a floppy disk reader, put that 3.5-inch floppy on in there, and then go ahead and copy your files over to the cloud. And hopefully we can get them done before that disk, the 3.5-inch floppy disk, you know, dies on you. I don't wish that on you, but I mean, unfortunately, that's just kind of what happens when you have mechanical drives these days.
Right. So long story short, it should work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand. It's, yeah. Mm. Hello.
Go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, that was it.
No, I had a question that, I have a tower that used to, can I put into the tower? If that's the case, what kind of, we're talking about an Ethernet, we're talking about what kind of cord system do I set up with that?
Well, I mean, I don't know what kind of tower you have, sir, but definitely depending on, so if you've got a tower that will allow you to read it, and then we'll also allow you to be able to take those images and put them online, as long as you can get online, as long as it's not too old, like a Windows XP or Windows 7 computer, or if it's not too old in your Mac OS or whatnot, I expect for that to be able to work.
All right. Well, Morris, we appreciate you calling in. This is Everyday Tech, and we are talking with Anik and Tracy from the Bean Path about both AI Month and the summer camps that they've got coming on. We said we've only got a few slots available for this summer camp. So how much is left?
Registration just started.
Okay.
So yeah. You all can go to our website and go on and register, because when we did the robotics camp the week of spring break, oh my gosh. We had so many people. We had like 15 people pass what we were supposed to have. And it was just like, oh my gosh, Dr. Nashley, what do we do? And she was like, you know what, Tracy? Hey, let's get to our board. Let's see if we can get them in. Let's see if we can get scholarships for those people or do whatever we have to do. Because if these kids want to be there, I want to make sure they're able to come.
Absolutely.
And so we open the doors for them. But please go on and register.
Just so you can prepare at least.
Exactly. Yeah. And you don't have to register for every week. Like, there are some kids that, you know, they're more about arts than they are about engineering. And so they'd want to sign up for the arts week. Or for somebody else, you're having a family reunion the week of the engineering camp, but you know that you want to sign up for the other ones, so you don't have to register for that one. You just register for the ones that you know your child wants to come to. If your child is playing a sport and they or band, you know, they've got band camp, you know, that they've got it, that they've got to go to, it is mandatory. Yeah. They will not be able to play for the fall. You can definitely don't register for that week. Register for the weeks that you know you're going to be in town for your child to come, because it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome.
It sounds like a lot of fun. It sounds like something I would have really enjoyed in high school or something like that. Yeah, or me too. Especially middle school, I would have enjoyed it. Because, you know, especially for those people who students who may not be enjoying like summer camps or sports camps and band camp coming up, if they don't have something like that, that is another thing that is available to them. That is an option for them now.
Yeah. Right. And Abram, I'm going to let you know this, because mm-hmm. you mentioned when you were in middle school, you would enjoy it. We had an organization come a couple of Saturdays ago for a STEAM day, and there were more of the leaders, the adult leaders, trying to participate in some of the STEAM activities.
Really?
So, Abram, you'd enjoy it now.
Well, that would be cool. That'd be cool to get some stuff going on. Well, we've got just a couple seconds left. Do you guys have any final thoughts? Like, where can we find some more information about the Beam Path and AI Month and summer camp and registration?
Well, it's all on the website.
Yes.
We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on TikTok sometimes, I think, as well.
YouTube. But please go to thebeampath.org.
Yeah.
You'll find everything at thebeampath.org.
And we will put that in the podcast description for this, thebeampath.org. If you hear that, Charles, put that in the podcast description. So, all right. Well, that is going to wrap us up for the day. So thanks so much, Anique and Tracy, for coming on the show. I hope we were able to shed some light on just a little bit of what you guys and the Beam Path do. So we appreciate you guys both being on here.
Thank you for having us.
Indeed.
Thank you so much. So
yes,
thanks
indeed.
Also, Sabir, for helping myself and our callers out. If you missed any of the show, make sure you listen back to it on your favorite podcasting app or download the MPB Public Media app. Everyday Tech is brought to you by Mississippi Public Broadcasting Think Radio and generous contributions from listeners. Our show today was engineered by Marissa Vaughn. Call screener was Will Pickering. I've been your host, Abram Nanny. The podcast producer is now Charles Arnold. Thank you for tuning in. Up next is Dr. Jimmy Stewart with the original Southern Remedy, and we'll be back next Wednesday morning at 10 right here on MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.